Why is DirecTV losing so many subscribers? What does it mean for the rest of the industry? And will it get worse this year? We dig into the data and offer our answers to these questions. Let's get started.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Video News End Screen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon from End Screen Media is with me, waiting with bated breath for the game to start on Sunday night. Right, Colin?
I am. Go Niners. It should be a great game. Both of these teams are really good. Great defense for the Niners and a pretty good offense. And, well, Kansas City and Mahomes, great offense. So we'll see how that shakes out. I got to say, though, the better defense often ends up winning, so I'm very hopeful.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, I watched my first Super Bowl ad last night, which I saw circulating somewhere on the internet, which was the ad from, I can't even remember who it's from, one of the car companies, Kia or whoever, with John Krasinski and others. Big Pappy makes a surprise appearance. It's just hilarious and reminded me of how much fun watching the Super Bowl ads is.
Yeah, it can be. And I've got to tell you, I will be, and I hope you'll be doing the same, I'll be doing a lot of streaming. I think Verizon Media are actually handling the streaming duties for Fox this year. And I'll be definitely doing a lot of streaming during the game, hopefully not distracting myself too much from the action. But we'll give out a report probably in next week's podcast.
Yeah, I'll do my streaming also, though I won't do the full-blown setup that I did 2 years ago where I had 9 screens set up together. That was a one.
Yeah, but, you know, this week we are going to talk about something that I think floored both of us, and that was the performance of AT&T's DirecTV.
Yeah, we're going to start the podcast talking about AT&T's Q4. But then we're going to have, I think, a broader conversation about what does that mean, and also from the results we've seen so far from others like Comcast and Verizon, what does that mean more broadly for 2020 cord cutting, which is, of course, uppermost in so many people's minds these days. Which way is that trend line going? But let's get started with AT&T. So let me give the quick top line. Q4, AT&T lost over 1.1 million video subscribers. The breakdown of that is 945,000 lost premium video subscribers. That's DirecTV and UVerse. And then another 219,000 lost subscribers to what they call OTT video, which is the old DirecTV Now that's been rebranded, and AT&T TV and also Watch TV. So the total loss was 1.164 million. And just to put that in context, in Q4 18, so 1 year earlier, AT&T lost 658,000. So they almost doubled their loss from Q4 18 to Q4 19, 77% higher. It was actually 14%. The Q4 was 14% sequentially lower than Q3. So that's, I guess, maybe a little bit of cold comfort depending upon the way you want to look at it. But the even bigger issue was, if you consider full year 2019 versus full year 2018, then it's really an eye opener. So 2018, AT&T lost a total of 750,000 subscribers. And that was helped a lot by the fact that in Q1 and Q2 of 18, they gained about 650,000 total DirecTV Now subscribers. So Q2 18 was really the last of the salad days for DirecTV Now. After that, they basically reined the whole thing in, raised the prices multiple times, cut back on the marketing, let people churn off, etc. But 2018, the net was that they lost 750,000 subscribers. 2019, they lost over four times that number. They lost 4.1 million subscribers in 2019 versus 2018. That means if you compare where they are today versus where they were on December 31st, 2017, 2 full years ago, 8 quarters ago, they have lost nearly 5 million subscribers. That is 19% of AT&T's subscriber base lost in just 2 years. there's nobody else. There's no other company that's had a performance like that in the industry. And I think it really shows that when we talk about the overall industry rate of cord cutting, that AT&T, both by virtue of its size and also by virtue of how much it's losing of its size, that it has a really, really dominant impact on the overall industry cord cutting number. So I say that just as a heads up before we dig into the whole kind of what's ahead for cord cutting this year, that it's impossible to discount how big an influence AT&T's performance alone has on the industry-wide cord cutting phenomenon. So I think I'll just leave it at that for right now. And you go ahead and jump in then and kind of scale us, zoom us out a little bit, if you will, and tell us more about what's happened in the industry so far in Q4 19 and what that might imply for full year 2020 cord cutting.
Right. Yeah. So they're not the only ones losing. It seems like every pay TV operator is in a losing situation now. As we saw, Comcast lost about 700,000 subscribers, video subscribers in 2019. That's about 3.3% of their video subscriber base walked away. And this morning, Will, I was just looking at, we're recording here on Thursday morning, and I was just looking at the Verizon results, and Fios was down, I think it was down about 50K for this quarter. But overall, they lost about 225,000 subscribers to the Fios TV service during 2019. And that equates to about 5% down. So these are not inconsiderable losses. I mean, certainly through the lens of DirecTV, they're not that bad. But this is fairly uniform now across the industry, between 3 and 5% lost. I'm expecting to see, actually, Dish, which is another satellite operator, I'm expecting to see them come in at about 6% down on the year, doing a little better, I think, than DirecTV now. But what does this mean? Well, so I've sort of tried to forecast out what I thought would happen with the other operators as they declare for Q4, based on what we're seeing from Comcast, Verizon, Dish, DirecTV, etc. And it looks to me like we'll probably end up about 6.7 million cable, satellite, and telco TV subscribers down versus 2018. So that will put us, by my reckoning, at about 84.4 million cable, satellite, and telco TV subscriptions in the US at the end of 2019. And that sort of compares with, we were at about 91.2 million at the end of 2018, which was something like 3.8 million down from 2017. So it looks to me, Will, like we are basically doubling the number of people that are walking away from traditional pay TV between 2018 and 2019. And I got to say that this does not bode well for 2020. Comcast, in its announcements on last week, said that they actually expected things to accelerate a little bit in pay TV losses in 2020. And their reasoning was that they have come up with a new policy last year, which is basically when people call up to try and get a better deal on their pay TV, they say no and they allow people to leave. And I think that's actually happened to you, right? Didn't you do that?
Absolutely.
And DirecTV has also embraced this this approach. And they're doing this because, you know, the margins on pay TV have gotten so bad that they want to improve margins and focus on the higher spending customers. And I've got to tell you, it seems to be working. They got increased Comcast's ARPU increased in 2019. And I noticed that DirecTV's went up pretty significantly from, I think, $126 to $130 a month. This is a lot of money, by the way. I mean, these are very, very expensive. But anyway, I think that means if Comcast expects things to accelerate, gosh, I think we might be looking at an acceleration for DirecTV as well. And if that all happens, I think we could see as many as 10% of pay TV subscribers walk away in 2020, which would put us down to about 76 million pay TV households at the end of this year. So, you know, I don't know how you're feeling, Will, but I totally think that that is a possible figure for the losses in 2020. And the market environment just seems ripe for people to walk away now, doesn't it?
Yeah, so a bunch of different reactions to what you just said, just from what you said at the very beginning related to the Comcast 3.3% loss in 19, the Verizon 5% loss in 19, and then you think about the AT&T loss in 2019, it's just night and day. I mean, AT&T is by such a far margin the worst performer in the industry. It's crazy. And then to sort of talk about the losses for last year, you know, you've done the numbers closer than I have, so I'm going to defer, but yeah, it does sound like the math works out to around 6.5-7 million total losses. Certainly, you know, around double, give or take, 2018. And then the question is, as you say, you know, where to from here? And I think that's ultimately what so many people are thinking about is, does cord cutting accelerate from here, as I think you're suggesting? You're suggesting about 8.5 million lost, if I understood it correctly, in 2020, right? So not a slight, but an acceleration versus 6.5 to 7 million in 2019. So that's a pretty decent acceleration, getting down to about 84 or 76, rather, as you said, end of 2020. There have been smart analysts in this industry who have suggested that the rate of cord cutting would actually decelerate in 2020, primarily for the reason that most of the most likely suspects to cut the cord, and it's not even cut the cord per se, because it's also people shifting over to the virtual MVPD services. But regardless of that, that the sort of the most vulnerable have already left. And I think what you and I were talking about before we started recording today is that we don't agree with that. We think that there's still a lot of air left to lose in this balloon, so to speak, because there are a lot of people that are very casual sports fans. The prices continue to go up, as you said. There are more OTT entertainment options, Peacock, Apple TV Plus, Disney Plus, HBO Max, et cetera, coming along here. Content, peak TV is getting more and more extensive every day, that people are being drawn out. And it doesn't seem like that's slowing down this year. It seems like it's only going to accelerate to us. You agree?
I certainly do. You know, this idea that the most vulnerable have already left, I think is kind of crazy, Will. And here's why. There's a couple of reasons. You're absolutely right. Most of the losses in pay television occurred before Disney Plus even launched and before Apple TV Plus even launched. We're going to see HBO Max and even Peacock, which is going to be available to everybody if they're willing to pay the $5, right? Even that is going to come along and give plenty of people reasons to leave. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that a lot of people point at sports as being a big anchor to pay television. And look, I do believe that that is to some extent true. Just looking at my own behavior, for example, the only reason I use, well, the primary reason I use my virtual MVPD these days is to watch my soccer on NBC Sports. So, you know, that I think that is an anchor, but the idea that that will hold people into $130 a month DirecTV subscription, I think is crazy, because if you cut the cord, or rather cord shift, and we should probably talk about that a little bit, and you go to a virtual MVPD, you could save a bunch of money. So if NFL is your bag, then get rid of your pay TV subscription, sign up for, put an aerial on your roof and sign up for Sling TV. And you end up paying $180 for the football season. You get your NFL through ESPN and any of the games you miss there. And the rest you watch, you know, your local games you watch for free. You save a bunch of money by doing that. And there's a lot of people, I think, that will be vulnerable to that idea. So, you know, the idea that we're going to see a slowing of people migrating is just, I think, flat out wrong.
Yeah, I hear all that, and I just wanted to come back, as you said, to the definitions, just to be clear for our listeners what we're talking about. When we say cord cutting, that means literally throwing pay TV out the window, if you will, meaning you're no longer subscribing to a live TV service. You may have an aerial or an antenna, as you said, but you're no longer paying any entity for a live TV service. Conversely, a cord shifter, which is what I am, is somebody who had a traditional pay TV service, whether from Comcast, Verizon, AT&T, whoever, and then shifted their decision from paying for that traditional bundle to paying for a virtual bundle. And for me, that meant paying originally with YouTube TV, I paid $35 a month for probably the first year and a half. Then they raised it to 50, but even the 50 would be far lower than what I would now be paying if I had stayed in the quote unquote triple play bundle from Comcast with the pay TV service, the voice service and the internet service, plus all of the ancillary charges for the box, the taxes, the broadcast tier, the sports, et cetera, et cetera. I'd probably be over, I don't know, I'd easily be over $200 now. And I don't even have like any other premium channels. So it's a really easy math decision to make to shift the cord if you still want a live TV service to one of the virtual services.
Yeah. But to just go back to talk about just DirecTV and AT&T just for a moment, Will. We should think about what the heck is going on and why DirecTV is really bearing the brunt of this, because Dish is not declining as fast. So, you know, even looking at the last few quarters with Dish, Dish is heading for about a 6% decline this year, unless something dramatic happens at the end of the year, you know, it happened at the end of the year. And that's nothing like what DirecTV is seeing. Now, there are two things for any satellite operator that need to be borne in mind, I think, when you think about their losses. The first is, and this is a huge one, I think, that they really don't have a bundle of any description going on. There's no broadband bundle here, which I think is a big factor in pay television from cable companies still being in, you know, the declines there being significantly lower than for the satellite industry, because that broadband bundle, I really do think, is an anchor with people, and aggressive pricing in that bundle is keeping more people sticking around. The other thing about DirecTV that is significantly different from Dish is just how expensive it is. As I mentioned, the average revenue per unit for DirecTV is $130, and I've got a feeling that is, I haven't looked at Dish's numbers in a while, but I'm pretty sure that's $40 or $50 higher than Dish's ARPU. Yeah. So that's a significantly more expensive pay TV bundle than just about anybody else. And by the way, even Comcast. Comcast, I think, is at about $86, $87. So it's significantly more expensive. And I think the no broadband bundle and the fact that it is so expensive versus everybody else is really punishing DirecTV.
Is that related to the Sunday Ticket deal also? Does that drive up their ARPU enough to get them to that level, you think, Colin?
Well, I think Sunday Ticket requires a separate subscription, right?
So it's not considered as part of DirecTV's ARPU?
No. Well, actually, that's not true. It would be factored in there.
Yeah, because that's only thing I can think of for why they would be so materially higher than the others.
Right, right. Now, obviously, it's an individual's decision if they want to subscribe to Sunday Ticket or not. But when I think they went, when they report the ARPU number, it includes all of the pieces, so all of the people that are, for example, that are subscribing to HBO for $15 a month is also lumped in there.
I think you're right. It is sort of like a quadruple whammy for DirecTV. It's an expensive service. There's no bundle. There's the whole streaming wars overhang going on, peak TV overhang that's hitting everybody. We haven't even talked about whether AT&T's properly managed the business, which is a whole nother topic of conversation we won't even get into today. But one other thing, I know we only have a couple minutes here before we wrap, but one other thing I just wanted to mention real quickly that came out of the AT&T results also earlier this week is that the revenue, the Q4 revenue in their so-called entertainment group, which includes everything from DirecTV to Warner Brothers to all the licensing, everything, they said that it reflects around $1.2 billion impact from foregone content licensing. Now, no further detail was provided, at least that I heard anyway, but I think that's almost certainly due to AT&T pulling Friends off of Netflix, among other titles, by the way, they pulled off of Netflix and elsewhere, and moving them into the forthcoming HBO Max service, which will launch in a few months. It also wasn't even clear whether the $1.2 billion foregone licensing was a one-time reduction. In other words, kind of recognizing all the future lost revenue from potential licensing over some period of time, or if there may even be ongoing licensing revenue that's foregone in future quarters. So that's another question. But irrespective of the answer, I thought it was just interesting to note that that's the hidden cost of both peak TV and also the direct-to-consumer business model, because companies like Warner Brothers at the studio level and at the TV syndication level, as well as other cable networks, broadcast networks, any rights holder basically that has been distributing through services like Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, et cetera, has been in a goldmine situation for the last 10 years. They've been collecting money left and right. But now when they shift to a direct-to-consumer model, that money no longer comes in. And that $1.2 billion is sort of a leading indicator of, again, what some of the overall costs are of launching these D2C businesses. It's not just the investment in the infrastructure, the marketing, the subscriber acquisition, the customer service, et cetera. You also have to throw in the revenue that was lost.
You certainly do. And of course, that's impacting Disney as well. We know they've pulled back a whole bunch of content. And I think it's a recurring thing, Will. It's, you know, they're looking for these services that they're launching to make up for that revenue. And AT&T are preparing for their big launch of HBO Max. They announced that it would be given away free to the 10 million people that subscribe, they say, to HBO through DirecTV and through ATTUverse and through any of their other properties. So that's not going to be accretive revenue, is it? That's going to be zero added dollars. So this service had better do well. Otherwise, they're not going to make up for that money.
I don't know. I think we need to wrap up, but I continually scratch my head about what the end game is of all this peak TV and direct to consumer business model stuff that we see launching. I just don't get what the end game is. It seems like a road to nowhere, and we're already seeing the signs of that. But that's the internet for you, right?
The internet. And I got a feeling it's going somewhere, Will, but we should sit back and enjoy the great content while we can. But I think we're just about out of time.
Yeah, and also enjoy the game coming up this weekend. Go Chiefs. I keep saying that. Sorry. All right, Colin, enjoy the game. Thanks, everyone, for listening in on this week's edition of the Video News End Screen Media Podcast. And we'll see you all again next week.